life as Paul the Apostle does feel like it really was Hilarion. An interesting thing about Hilarion, too, is that the Catholic Church has a Saint Hilarion, which I haven't had the time to research, but I came across it in my... One time I was just looking at some saints or whatever, and there it was, and I went, oh, this, I got to find out more. So I've heard that that is one of his lifetimes. The Goddess of Truth works very closely with him, and she is one of the Lords of Karma. And that would be Pallas Athena. So she and he do a great work together, helping to ignite the brain, awaken the mind, connect it with the heart, so that we can know that we are much more than what we appear to be. And then the master of the sixth ray is Jesus, who all of us know and love. And this ray is the ray of mystics, saints, the masters. It's the ray of devotion, idealism. Whenever you have anyone who has very high ideals, they're very connected to the sixth ray and the work of Jesus. It's not surprising that one of the things that he does is to continue to work with Christianity and to rectify, what can I say, the falsehoods or the wrong information that's been brought in to bring out the actual truth of his teachings. And I'm sure that he's working with the Ashaya monks very closely, because I'm sure they hold a lot of the truth that we'll be hearing more about. If you don't know, too, I should mention that there's a lot of work, and I think Helena Rorick is one of the ones who brought some of this forward when she traveled in the Far East, about the fact that there was a Saint Issa, and there is an Isha, and that they all were the man that we know of as Jesus. There are other names that are attributed, but those two I'm most familiar with. And there are some actual Tibetan texts which speak of his work and what he did when he was in the Far East. And she, along with Nicholas, I think it's Nicholas Nadovich, a Russian artist, did some wonderful, like, New Age art. It was far ahead of its time in the early 20s, 30s, and 40s. He visited some of the monasteries in Tibet, and he had literally one of the people come to him and say, unroll the scroll and say, this speaks of your teacher. You know, he was known here as, I think, Issa in that case. He is your Jesus. And Nicholas sat down and wrote everything the man read to him from the scroll, and that's been published. You can get that in printed form. So he's very active for a very long time. That's part of the lost years or the hidden work that he did while he was on the earth at that time. The other great work that he is about, of course, is bringing together all philosophies, all spiritual teaching, and all the religions so that they finally become one or unify. And I think that's probably one of the greatest works that he is doing. He also works with Michael the Archangel and the Master Hilarion to sacralize science and bring the divine mind into science and meld spirit with science. So that's coming in our future. Of course, he's closely aligned with the angels and the angelic kingdom. And the other great thing that he does for us is to prepare us to recognize and receive Lord Maitreya when he does come as the planetary Christ. Oh, I made a note here too. Edgar Cayce had a lot to say about Jesus and his past lives, and I thought you might be interested. He said that he was the firstborn of the Father, Mother God, as Amelius in Atlantis when that was on the earth. Later he was Adam, also Melchizedek, which doesn't surprise me because he was such a priestly being in a lot of his lives. Jeshua, he was Joseph, the Joseph of the coat of many colors, who eventually became a very wise man in Egypt and was able to give counsel to the Pharaoh at that time, and I think that was Ramses, one of the Ramses, I'm not sure. Then later he was Joshua, and then this is a real interesting one, Apollonius of Tyana, another lifetime that's easily researched because that being's life was so much like the man Jesus' life. He was a miracle worker. He healed with his touch or with his presence. He taught almost the exact same thing that Jesus taught. And for a while, historians confused the two. And then they found some actual remains of Apollonius in Greece somewhere, I believe, such that he was, you know, a real person, and they found that. So they knew they were two separate entities. But you can look that up, and it's real interesting to read about his life and see the parallels. So I feel like he continued the work that he did. There's much, much more that can be said, and sometime maybe I'll do a class on just the lost teachings or the lost years or whatever, where he was and what he was doing. It's very interesting work. Then we have, I keep feeling I have something in my eye here. The one you've probably heard quite a bit about, and that's the Master Saint Germain, as he's commonly known. He works with the seventh ray. And one of the great things that I hear that he is doing, I do not know this personally, but I've read it in several places, is that he is working to bring in the energies of the higher rays, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. So that means that we all have to be stepped up. You know, our energetic level, our vibration needs to be more refined. But he apparently is working very hard at that. And when that energy is ready to come through, it will apparently come through Shambhala and through all of the masters, be disseminated or given to the planet, to humanity especially. So, he works with the angels a lot. And any of you who love magic, this is the master for you, because apparently he was a great master of ceremonial magic in particular. He had a lot of different lifetimes. But before I mention any of that, I want to share with you something that I think is so interesting. He still really devotes a lot of his work to Europe and America, the awakening of both continents. He was at one time the great sponsor of Europe, all the way up until the Napoleonic Wars. And what I have read is that there was a point at that particular time in history when the great karma that had been amassed in that part of the world could have been cleared and cleansed through the awakening of Napoleon. But sadly, Napoleon got seduced by power and other things, and Saint Germain withdrew his sponsorship. And we all know what happened to Napoleon. So what he did was begin to see where the evolution was moving, and he could see that the new world, this United States of America, was in the world's future, and he is one of the great sponsors of our country. I want to talk a little bit about George Washington and the Masons and all of that. Just briefly, he did kind of overlight the whole idea of writing the Constitution. There were many masters at work there, but particularly Saint Germain. He is the one who kind of sponsored Washington to be our first president. I've told you the story of the visions that Washington had of the Goddess of Liberty appearing and all those kinds of things. There was just an incredible amount of work, and because Washington was a Mason, and I've mentioned how Masonry is kind of, especially in its early years when it was very pure, the last remnant of the true mystery schools, that was very well known around among all those men and women who were drawing up the ideas of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the idea of a presidency and an equality of peoples. 53 out of 56 of the people who signed were Masons. So it really impresses me. I have to learn more about that. Saint Germain is obviously a great exponent of freedom. He was taught by the ancient master R, whom we don't know much about anymore, and he is in line to become our Maha Chohan when the master R, or whoever it is that holds that office right now, goes on to his next evolutionary path. And as far as his past lives, there are very many and very interesting. The prophet Samuel, there's a whole triangle there where Jesus was involved and Saint Germain and Kuthumi. It's a real interesting thing. He was Saint Joseph, the earthly father during Jesus' life. Proculus, it's said that he was Merlin. Since he loved ceremonial magic, I think that could be possible. One of the saints he is said to have been is Saint Alban, about whom I don't know anything, but that would be an interesting thing to research. And then, of course, Roger Bacon, Christopher Columbus, and Francis Bacon, three men who had massive, massive influence on the development of the world as a whole. Just Francis Bacon and Roger Bacon alone, the things that they wrote are very similar, even though they lived many years apart in time. Massive intellects and ability to absorb and synthesize and disseminate information on anything from science to religion. It's amazing. I think it's Bacon who is said to have actually been Shakespeare, so, and to have written all those great plays and everything. Let's see. Oh, and then of course, there are a lot of teachings that say he came back after he did ascend and came into body again and was known in the 18th and 19th century throughout Europe as the Wonder Man. He did a lot of phenomenal kinds of miracles and manifesting of things, levitating, lots of different things to try to get to pique people's minds, but really to show the courts, he's very active in the court life, in France in particular, that there was a better way to do things than what was coming up, which was the French Revolution. So he really tried to ignite the minds of those in power, and it didn't happen. So I find it interesting that he is our sponsor, and he was once Christopher Columbus in another lifetime. Okay. He does also have an earthly retreat, Transylvania, Romania, and in his more recent lives and time on the planet in Table Mountain, Wyoming. So, which I'd like to visit. I think that would be really interesting. Wow, it's going on to 9 already. So that's a little bit about the 7 masters. They are all accessible. They all love us and have such devotion to us we can't even imagine it. So you can call on any of them at any time. I want to talk then a little bit about the Manu and the Christ and the Maha Chohan. These three departments, or these three beings, head the three departments of our spiritual government. And you can think of that as will, love, and intelligence. That's a real easy way to remember it. Or someone else also said government, religion, and civilization. I think I pretty much talked about the Manu and the root races already. I'll tell you a little bit more about the new race that's coming. I think I probably got this information from Bailey and a couple of other sources. The keynote of the 6th race is going to be unselfishness and enthusiasm for service, kindness, great heart, of course, and compassion. And the description that they've given about the people, I shared that a little bit with you. Very clear, refined skin and that oval face. And I, you know, my daughter has a very long oval face. I never even thought of that. She has very long, I have fairly long fingers, but her fingers are much longer than mine. And a delicate kind of a body, very sensitive as a young person. So it's very interesting, and I think a lot of the children that are coming in now are the beginning of that. And I'm thinking particularly of Tammy, who comes sometimes to class, and she has a little boy who has porcelain skin. It's a very unusual looking on a little boy child. A very delicate and refined body, very delicate, unusual eating habits. And then he tells his mother all the time when she's eating wrong. He calls her on everything. I mean, she would tell you this herself. It's an amazing experience. He has been tested and they can't measure him. So he has told her from the time he was able to talk who he used to be in other lifetimes, where he used to live. Amazing stuff. So I really think Michael is the kind of child that we have coming. And if he's the beginning of it, I just can't even imagine, you know, what the end is going to be like in the 6th root race. So the Manu is the facilitator of the will aspect of the Creator. And an interesting point is that a lot of the people who write about him say that he did come from Venus. A lot of the great beings who are here now, that's where they came from. And I don't know that personally, but that is what I have read. Then the Maha Chohan, that of course means Great Lord, his title really is as representative of the Holy Spirit, so he's very active. I'm going to talk about Lord Maitreya last, I think, of these three. He has the quality of active intelligence, and he is at work developing further the intelligence that is present on this planet. And I'm told that he is the impetus for evolution, for the evolutionary growth. I think this being may be the one who worked a lot with Aurobindo. If any of you have read his work, he worked, and he and the woman known as the Mother, that he was closely affiliated with, worked tirelessly in India for the awakening of the mind in that country to the fact that it's time to move and time to grow and evolve. And there is so much more that we as humans can do, and so much more that the brain is capable of than what it is doing. And he spoke constantly of a new man coming, of an ignited brain, or the golden brain, the fully awakened brain. And I think the Maha Chohan really worked with him on that. There's a story about the mother when she died. There was already a division within the ashram, those who wanted power and those who were really there for the heart of the teachings and to carry them into the world. And when the mother died, the plan had been that no one would touch her body for 3 days. She had already changed her cellular level such that when she should have been dead before, she reawakened the body. It's just an amazing story. And unfortunately, the power struggle ensued, and her true chelas were not allowed to be with her body, and they burned the body and the other people who were struggling for power. And her work is phenomenal. She left volumes and volumes of journals that she kept because she knew that what Aurobindo was teaching was accurate, and she took it even further in that she lived it through her body. And it's an amazing work. So I think that's the kind of people that the Maha Chohan inspires, so that intelligence, the true meaning of intelligence, continues to evolve and grow. Another interesting thing about this being is that he does work with the forces of nature. So he overlights all of the great sky beings, all of the devas of storm and wind and snow and all of that. And that is the one that you can petition specifically if you choose when you want a change in weather. That's the being. And I'm told that he is the source of electrical energy as we now know it. And he, I'm sure, is the one who is working with some of the cold fusion stuff that's coming out. Been coming out for years, but it was laughed off the market when it first came out about 5 years ago. I think it was shortly after we moved here when I first saw the guys on TV talking about what they had done, and all the other scientists went, ha ha, that's not possible. And now there's work being done, and it's being peer reviewed, and it's being published, and they've got a couple of items, I guess, that are really working by cold fusion, a water heater, and I don't know, some other things. I haven't heard too much, but I just find that fascinating. And of course, what will cold fusion do? It will eliminate the use of fossil fuel. It will just change everything. It is similar to what Tesla talked about back in the early 40s, that the Earth has an energy that has an unlimited source. You don't have to plug it in or turn it on or anything. You know, you just set it in motion. And it's there. So that's a very exciting development that's happening in science right now.